Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I'm the host of this show. This is episode number 441. And because this is the day we all have trust issues, we're going to talk about gaming April Fool's jokes that flooded our feeds this morning. And this one might not be a joke, so we're going to talk about what we want in an Xbox handheld. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you to the friendly voices around this digital table. Joelle, what's up?
Hello.
Hello, hello. And we've got another special guest appearance by the one and only Steve Saylor. What's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm excited because you've got a project that is just like hot off the presses when we release this episode, and I'm super intrigued because I've been wanting to get into this for a while and haven't had the opportunity to do so. Ooh. So I'm hoping I'm going to learn through you.
Cool.
And watching these YouTube videos of your D&D adventures.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to get into talking about that in a hot minute. First, let me get through some housekeeping. I'd like to remind you that if you enjoy this show, you can subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. If you'd like to get some GOG merch, you can do that by going to designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames. Maybe you'd like to give us a tip, maybe buy us a coffee. You can do that by going to our Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/girlsongames. So, Steve.
Yes.
Please. Tell us, what's the new project all about?
Yeah, so it's a brand new show called Dungeons and Disableds. It is a D&D TTRPG actual play show. For those who may not be necessarily in the lingo, it's if you've ever played Dungeons and Dragons or ever watched a live Twitch stream or YouTube show where people sit around and play Dungeons and Dragons, it's essentially that. But the cool thing is that it is the table has disabled players who just love to be able to play games and play Dungeons and Dragons, where I'm also the dungeon master. And the whole thing is that, yeah, it's basically just a bunch of nerdy disabled players sitting around playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I love that. Mm-hmm. How long is it going to be? Is it going to be like multiple episodes ongoing, no set end date? Do you have an end date? Like, how does this all come together?
So because there's when I talked about this sort of online, it's sort of like I have this cool idea. A lot of folks in the disabled community, or at least the accessibility community, wanted to play or at least be in the show. And so I decided that instead of having like a set cast, like say Critical Role, where, you know, they have like over 100 episodes for like a long form campaign, I decided that we'll do a like one shot adventures, which basically is a couple of episodes that are about like an hour each, about four or five episodes total. And we'll basically just do multiple adventures where we've got a cast right now that is the first adventure is called Escape from Revel's End. It's basically a prison break, if you're interested in that. And then after that, we basically are just going to open up to it's kind of revolving cast. So the only constant is that I get to DM the campaign or the adventure. And we just have a bunch of disabled folks coming in and playing games. And, you know, it's also open to the folks who've played before. They want to jump in with same character or a different character altogether. We're kind of open to that. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit easier for folks to, like, jump into this kind of a show and they can listen to or watch the adventure play out over, like, maybe 4 or 5 hours total instead of, like, hundreds of hours for, like, one long campaign.
Yeah, because you have to be committed. Mm-hmm. Like, you're critical. Like, I started and I was like, I just don't, I just don't think I have the bandwidth.
It is a lot. Like, yeah. I watched pretty much a majority of campaign one of Critical Role, all of campaign two of the Critical Role, and I'm like, I am so far behind on campaign three. I'm like, I got up to like episode 50. They're already up to like episode 90 something. So, yeah, it's a huge commitment. And those episodes are like 4 or 5 hours average. It's a lot, but yeah, I figured, you know what, keep it easy for folks to jump in and just, you know, hey, each episode's an hour-ish long, and it's kind of a quick, listen for folks who just want to get some D&D into sort of their podcast rotation.
Oh, that's cool. So who's joining you on your first campaign?
Yeah, so I actually have a few streamers and then some folks within the accessibility community. So I have... Just Siam, or aka Sam. She's been in the TTRPG space for quite a while. And she's also a Twitch ambassador. So she's part of the first adventure. We have Mike the Quad, who's also a Twitch streamer. We have Hello, It's Colo, who's also a streamer from the UK. And then we have Morgan Baker, who is the accessibility lead over at EA. And Grant Stoner, who is an accessibility journalist, works for IGN, has a column there, works for Wired, and has been on Kotaku, Washington Post, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be really, really cool. And I love this idea, too, that like people could like come and go in different campaigns and bring back the characters and stuff. Can you give us any teasers on any of the like characters that people have made and like quirks and quirks of them, like,
yeah,
anything really funny and silly happening?
Yeah, so one of the things that part of the show is that as long as, you know, obviously the rule I have is that as long as the players who come to the table have to have a disability, whether it's invisible or invisible, like that's just kind of the requirement to be at the table, but they also have the option to play as someone with a disability or not, and they can sort of play as a character as any others. Like, that's the choice. But all of them actually decided to play with a disability, and we've got some interesting ones. We've got some folks in wheelchairs. We have some folks with who just have, like, you know, chronic fatigue, which is a very interesting way to be able to play that in D&D. But I was able to find like some mechanics to be able to make that work within the D&D system. But one of my favorites is actually two. So Grant plays someone who's in a wheelchair. And one of the spells you can have in D&D is called Mage Hand, where it's kind of like a magical hand that sort of like just glows, and you can kind of use it as sort of almost an extension as a third hand, but it's a magical one. And Grant basically has it up all the time, and it's almost like a second, like a way to gesture and kind of like do certain, like he basically talks with his mage hand, let's just say that, which is pretty funny. And then I have another one plays, so Morgan actually plays someone that she has a sort of a magical pet corgi called Kibler, and Kibler talks to her in her mind, so it's like it's a cute thing. It's just it's so hilarious. Like we really play into that too, and it's just, yeah, it's just a fun time.
Oh, so awesome. So this starts on Wednesday. We're recording on Monday.
Yes.
This starts on Wednesday. Episode comes out on Thursday, or this episode comes out on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So where can people find it?
Yeah, they can go to dungeonsanddisableds.com or just search for Dungeons and Disableds on your favorite podcast platform, and it should be available there. And so, yeah, we're going to be doing the first adventure. Every episode is going to post every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and until until the adventure's done. And then we might take a little bit of a break to be able to get the next adventure ready to go, but we'll probably have like maybe a week or two break, and then we'll start with the next adventure. But yeah, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Is this your first time being a dungeon master?
No. Funny enough, actually, this is the first time I've been a dungeon master in probably about 7 or 8 years.
Yeah,
it has been a while. So it's kind of like interesting to just kind of get back in the saddle of it again. But I used to have a podcast way back in the day called Terrible Warriors, which is still running, which is really great to this day. But yeah, I had to stop just due to some health and, you know, work issues and stuff like that. So Mm-hmm. I couldn't continue playing it, but essentially, yeah, it was a fun time. We're basically kind of similar idea where we would just pick an adventure and or pick a system and play that every month. So, yeah, so it's been a minute, but, it's, you know, it's like riding a bike. You just like, once you kind of get back into it again, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, this seems familiar. So, yeah, so it has been a while, but I'm really, really enjoying kind of diving back in again.
Too cool.
Yeah.
What else you been up to? It's been a little bit since we've had a chance to chat.
Yeah. You know, just working.
You know,
just keeping busy as best I can. I mean, you know, the industry is kind of in a weird sort of spot right now with work and freelancing and stuff like that. But you know, I've got there's some cool stuff I'm working on. I'm still working on currently Call of Duty, been working on a project for that for about the past like 2-ish years now. Mm-hmm. So, I've been working with that and just a few other, you know, stuff I can't talk about just yet because, you know, you got to love the NDAs. But, yeah, there's a few stuff I've been working on in the background. But, yeah, this is kind of like the main sort of public thing right now. I also have another podcast that I started called Gaming Insight. Yes. Where I sort of take the biggest story of the week and then I have you know, a guest on to be able to talk about it. So that's been a fun journey in and of itself, too. So. Yeah, we've been tackling some big issues over there too, like the whole Sweet Baby stuff and everything that happened with that. And I actually had Alyssa Mercante on who wrote the initial article that spawned, I guess, the trolls of Gamergate 2.0. It was, yeah, so just some really, like, we definitely don't shy away from the tough conversations on that show. So.
Yeah, we dealt with that not last week because, and we'll talk about that why we didn't have a show last week, but week before we were talking about that. And I've been so out of the loop because of work stuff that I had to have Joelle and Kat kind of like walk me through it. I'm like, what have I missed? How am I seeing Gamergate 2.0? Why?
It's stupid. It's even stupider than the first one.
Yeah,
it really is.
So it's true. It's just, yeah. And it, like, it's not even like they're being like subtle or overt. Whatever, no, they're showing their full ass, like 1,000%. So
yeah, I think if anything, and some of the people in our Discord like made the comment of it's a soundbite that got a reaction and people just clammed onto it from this one dude and it just exacerbated it. It like didn't have like any real chew to the complaint at all. So I just just tried to enlighten listeners like around that fact of like it. You know, I did a little bit of research, you know, try to take one for the team and see out the other side. And I was like, wow, you just don't really have much to go off of, do you? So
no, yeah. They're literally picking out like at the smallest little things and just kind of really just hammering that like point at all the time. And like, it's just, it's not, oh, man, it's not been fun, but.
Yeah. It's just tough because like we lived through the first version, which was. What
10 years ago
yeah. And it's just like it gives you a little bit of like the heebie-jeebies, right? You're just like, ugh, I don't want to see that word ever again. So yeah, I'm glad we're kind of in the, that's a little bit behind us now at least, but yeah. I'm glad to see you on the show again.
Yeah.
And when you've got other projects, of course, you know you can always come on and hang out
of course.
And chat about them.
Hey, no,
when the time comes. I know how that is. Joelle, what have you been up to this week, my dear? The past 2 weeks, really.
Oh, I know. I know it's weird that it really threw off my week that we didn't record. Well, for me, I haven't been doing too much. Work has been absolutely bonkers. Just like, you know, when you're at a new job and you're 6 months in and the person training you goes off for vacation, you just know that, like, the shit will hit the fan in a way that's new and no one has thought of yet and you got to figure it out. So just like it was, it's just been crazy, bonkers, bananas. But I, was able to do some relaxation and rest, which was good, and hung out with some friends over the weekend. It was the Easter holiday, and I didn't do anything, which made me really happy because I used to work on Easter, so I'm still holding on to that, where, like, I don't have to do nothing. So I did. I relished in not having to do anything. So, yeah, it's just been pretty chill over on my end, which has been really nice. So
That's good. Yeah, the reason why we didn't have an episode last week is my fault. Kat, too, I guess a little bit. She was packing because she's off in Amsterdam. But, the next, so we usually record on Mondays, and the next day at 6 a.m., we were launching 92 sites. So I was like, yeah, I'm kind
of guess,
crunchy.
A new radio station launched? That's what it is?
It's all the websites. So yep. Migrating content management systems and changing things. And like the last time we really did this was 2016. We brought in iHeart. So like, I'm old hat at it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the same time, it's just like all the pieces come out of the woodworks when you go and clean something up, right? Yep. And aligning everything. And of course, we've got radio stations from Halifax to Vancouver and Victoria and British Columbia interior. So you're dealing with time zones.
Yep.
People with questions. And, you know, it's not just content that I'm dealing with. I'm also making sure sales is good and pages are set up for ad ops and, you know, making sure that people understand how all these pieces are going to work, what's going to live on the sites, what's not, and all the nitty gritty and stuff, right? And so we have 103 radio stations across the country. No, I get three we didn't migrate into new sites. Seven, we migrated the News Talk sites on the 12th, and then we did the remaining 92, which would technically one of them counts as two because it's iHeart and it's bilingual. Every other, just clarification, within Canada, with the way the CRTC and language laws work, your website's either English or French when it comes to a radio broadcasting thing. Like your radio station's either English or French, but iHeart, we have the brand in both languages, so that one is totally bilingual. I think it might be now. No, it's not the only site now that's bilingual for Bell, because obviously they have Crave and stuff now too.
Right,
that's bilingual. But yeah, that was a project, and it's something that we've been working on for years. Because just like a video game, these things take many, many, many iterations of checks and figuring out what the game plan is, and then things will throw you for a loop as technology changes and stuff like that. And then when you finally say, okay, let's go, and you have an end date, you have to push forward. So we got it done. It was
nice.
Pretty smooth, I gotta say, all things considered, you know.
Nice. That's always great.
So I'm really happy. The team across the country, the product team, the ad ops team, all the folks that I worked with were great. And everybody did the best job they possibly could with all the stuff that we have, you know, all the bits and pieces that are part of it. And I'm glad it's done. So I felt like when I got off, so I think I worked until 10, like 8 to 10 on the Monday, and then I started at 5 when I made the call, go no go, depending on the news, 5 a.m. that is, and then we started flipping at 6. And then I think I closed my computer at 3 because I couldn't look at it anymore.
Jeez.
It's cross-eyed.
Oh. As much as I do miss being working in radio, that's the thing that I do not miss at all, is the migrating of websites, or when, you know, when things launch and there's like a million and one different things you have to plan for, or, you know, schedule, and all it takes is just one little thing, one little like comma or like semicolon somewhere that just like can screw everything all up.
Yeah. Well, mostly like we were able to build things in advance, which is great. We weren't like scrambling before, but we have to do like redirects, thousands of redirects, right? Because we had one big site and now they're all their own entities. All the brands are their own entities, all the networks and stuff. So but it's done now. And I was feeling a little bit like hungover afterwards, because obviously it's a lot of work and we've been working on like full tilt for since Christmas ended, right? Mm-hmm. Like the roll up, and then we really got it in the mix just after we got back from break. So I'm glad that's done. Obviously, still working on stuff, bits and pieces and things. I get to pick up all the projects that I kind of let sit for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was only this past week where I actually was able to get into a video game again, because I think I spent like 3 weeks where like I maybe played an hour of games one in those 3 weeks because that's how? All I had the mental capacity and stuff to do. So
I'm like, I hear that.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, because I know you had sent a tweet talking about how you hadn't had much time to stream or play games or anything like that. I guess because you're working on this new D&D endeavor. And I was like, I feel your pain.
And honestly, it was, yeah. It, like, I knew that going into it, like, as you know, as everyone like knows, like, as far as going into new projects, you kind of like sometimes it just, you know, get tunnel vision and it's the only thing you can be able to focus on. But yeah, there have been times, especially with just the amount of games that have come out within the past like 2 months, it's mm-hmm. been a lot. And thankfully we're kind of, I guess we're in sort of a limbo mode right now where there's not really any huge major releases releasing for the next little bit, so I can at least jump back in again. But it was like almost every day there was a huge, like, either RPG for whatever reason or a huge game that basically was like everyone was playing. And I'm like, how? I don't know if it, how anyone can have the time. Yeah. But yeah, it's yeah, there were definitely moments where I was just like, I just do not want to touch a controller at all. Like, it just, it was getting to be for a bit.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And not just that, like the news, like I couldn't even like look at social or anything. I was like, I don't have the mental capacity for this. So I watched Survivor.
Fair. Hell yeah. I've been watching Survivor too, so I totally get that.
In the new season.
I'm waiting for this season to finish.
You want to binge watch it all?
So like beginning of Christmas, like just after Christmas when I knew I was getting into this, I was like, I need something mindless. So I started, because Paramount has like season 20 on, 30 on, something like that. Yep. Anyways, I'm back up. I'm 42 right now. Oh, so okay. Like I've watched it all again because I watched a lot of it during COVID.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm watching it all again.
You're not far. They're at 46 right now. So
yeah, exactly. And I kind of remember because I watched the last two fairly recently, like as they release. So like I remember what happens, but it's just fun because it's just like it's mindless and I just love the people watching nature of Survivor. It's such a crazy social experiment. Mm-hmm. I forgot.
Yeah. If there was any, I mean, I'm not a big reality, I like reality competition shows, but if there was one show that I could go on, it would be Survivor because that would be so fun.
I thought about that too. I was like, dude, would I ever go on a reality show? Like Survivor probably be the only one that I've probably watched the most that I would be like interested in going on, but I'm like, I don't know if I could, like, just like it's just it hits like, oh yeah, like one episode be like, yeah, I would love to be on the show, and the next episode, nah, I can't handle that, like no. Like not like the like not having like flint for like days or something like that to be able to make a fire, and I would go absolutely bonkers just to try to be able to survive on that. So I'll just stick with like it's fun to watch. I'll stay with that.
Yeah, it is. You put yourself under extreme duress just because of like the new place, the lack of sleep. Like, I think people sometimes forget, like when they're watching it, like these people don't sleep.
True.
They don't eat.
Nope. Except for like coconut or anything they can be able to find.
Yeah. Fish. And they do get medical attention because I kind of go on the back end and do some deep dives and listen to podcasts and blah, blah, blah. But like they say, like, well, yeah, like if you're really sick, like they'll give you something if you're sick, or like if you, you know, get bit by something. You know, I mean, there's animals and there's bugs. And so there's that. And then with me growing up, like going to the Boundary Waters, like the wilderness camping up in northern Minnesota for 13 years. Like I kind of can understand like the mindset of like, you got to really like dig into some grit. It's going to be uncomfortable like the whole time.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to be relaxing. Like it's not a vacation. It's a game.
Yeah.
But I think it would be really interesting to see you also who you're paired with, because that also changes the game so much depending on who you're with, because there's no one type of personality that wins, because there's just a whole box of chocolates that you're with each time. So you can never predict one type of personality to win over the other, which I find the most fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still think, and this is an idea I've like, because right now I kind of am wanting a little bit of a refresh with Survivor, because it is kind of like you like it's it, it there's not much that changes other than each season, other than really just the players. And yeah, the players are great, and some of you know, there's some amazing personalities on there that do make the show. But I miss when they used to do like the gimmicks of like Pearl Island or All Stars or something like that. And I think they still haven't done this yet, but I think this would be an amazing idea for a season. You have essentially almost up to 46 seasons of Survivor, right? Mm-hmm. You have almost up to 46 winners of Survivor, but we've never seen an entire season of all winners.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah, 40. There was one. Yeah.
Oh, there was. 40. Oh, wait, what did I miss?
Winners at War.
Yeah, Winners at War.
Winners at War. Shoot, you're right. No, I did miss it. Yeah, you're right. My mind's
been
mushed.
Go back and watch that one. That one's a good one. That's a good season. And I only know because I've been watching it.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, you should watch it. But like maybe what would be interesting though, how about a person from every single season?
That would be great too.
Right?
That's what I thought you were going to say,
And watching through the seasons now, and they've done like the Millennials versus Gen Z.
Yes.
Now, or Gen X. Now we can do Millennials versus Gen Z because, like, we're 40 now. Like, we're Millennials. We're old now.
Yeah.
So we should do that.
Well, that's why I don't remember. It aired in 2019. So I'm like, it's been
before time.
46 seasons of two years.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a lot. But yeah, that was a fun season. And the way they kind of led up to it with the they had that season where Sandra and Rob were kind of like giving their
giving the advice.
Like I think there's something there. But like that whole, I think some of the roughing it I could handle. It's the not knowing anybody, not being able to trust anybody, and the luck of the draw, whether you're going to click with somebody or not. But as soon as you do, you almost need to like pretend you don't click because that becomes a problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you can't be too good at your social game because if you're too good, then you're a threat. But if you're bad, then you're a burden. So like just you're constantly walking this delicate tightrope. And constantly kind of having to monitor and assess the situation, but not be obvious about it. Because if you're obvious about it, then you're just playing too hard and it's annoying.
I will
it's fascinating.
Yeah. I will say, although for like this season, like minor spoilers, there is one player who I think is probably the worst Survivor player.
Really? Like, can they not swim? Because it drives me nuts when people go on these shows. It's like but not knowing how to swim. Come on.
There's that, but then it's like this one. It just has zero strategy, zero strategic skills, and I'm like,
it's very uncomfortable. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh my god,
it is uncomfortable to watch. It's like, oh no.
It's like, what are you doing? No.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there. Yep.
Just like today, watch the finale that Gabler won.
Oh, wow.
That was gave away the money to the vets.
He did. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
I didn't see that one. Paramount Plus. I don't know. I guess it would be the same thing for you guys in the U.S. too.
It is
because I think they own all of it. Yeah. It's interesting to see what programs show up on what platform.
Yeah, because it's Paramount Plus in Canada, but it also is global for the current seasons too.
Right.
So that's what I've been watching.
Or they come like a week or so later.
I don't know about Paramount Plus is like how their schedule is, but I know a global is like the day after it airs.
Oh no, but like the Paramount Plus comes. Like,
I can even check to see like what is it currently at right now because I'm very curious.
This is a game that I don't enjoy playing. Is how can I watch the show? Because
I know, right?
I like this is a game I don't like at all because it's like I want to watch the Grammys while I have to get the souped up version of Paramount Plus with Showtime, and it's like, well, then how do I watch the Oscars? Oh, well, you have to have like this channel on this, and I'm just like, why can't? What happened? Like, why? Yeah. I have like seven different streaming services, including like Sling Live TV. How can I not watch like a networked show that used to be free to see? I don't know. It's just,
It's even harder in Canada because it's like, well, what affiliate is carrying it? Are they actually carrying it? Okay, if they're not carrying it, do I have access to the U.S. station? Yay or nay? Is that U.S. station?
Because
like, say Fox, there's like umpteen different channels of Fox. But like here in Toronto, we get the Buffalo Fox.
Yes.
Is that carrying it? Like...
stupid.
Yeah. Minefield. I'm like, can I watch X in Canada? Mm-hmm. Or where do I watch X in Canada is like something you have to Google all the time. Yep.
So apparently Paramount's like 2 weeks behind.
Okay, they're 2 weeks behind. Yep. Well, it's fine. I'm the whole season behind. Yeah,
so you're good. You're good.
Yeah. That's the other thing too. Then I don't have to watch it with commercials because I pay for it.
Fair enough. I mean, it's the one show that I'm like, I will consistently, well, other than WWE right now, because that's my new jam that I've been watching.
I need to get into that. I need to get into that.
I know.
I need like a Sherpa or something, someone to like guide me through what's going on. Because
I volunteer as tribute.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Because during like that, what was it? A WrestleMania or a SummerSlam or something? We were watching it, and we were the one that Greg was on. And I started watching like all these, the road to WrestleMania and all this kind of stuff. And I do the same thing for Survivor. I watch all those analysis ones where they break down like how much time someone's been on. That stuff blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the min-maxing person in me, right?
Oh, yeah.
You wanting to know the ins and outs. So, yeah, I just don't know enough about.
I will just say the thing that like that to get people excited for it's like WrestleMania 40 is this coming weekend, and The Rock is back.
Oh,
so WrestleMania is this weekend and F1 is this weekend. Yes. Okay.
Oh, you're gonna have great week. Well, actually, so WrestleMania is 2 days, so you gotta remember. So
I know. Well,
depending on F1,
the race is 3 days too. So
true.
Like,
true.
I've got my entertainment this weekend. I love this.
Where's the Grand Prix this weekend?
Australia just happened, so let me check my F1 app. That's always the dance too, because it's like different time zones and stuff, and I'm just like, am I watching it Saturday night at 1 a.m? Am I watching it at lunchtime? Am I watching it racing? Japan. We're in Japan.
Oh, okay. So it's gonna be like late at night for that. So, okay, so
it's 1 a.m. on Saturday. Yeah. Qualifying is Saturday to Sunday.
Well, WrestleMania starts at like Friday 7. Technically there's like a bunch of pre-show stuff, so The Rock is gonna be he's coming back. He's not had a match in a long time. He's been kind of sort of like, he's been a part of this new storyline that is happening, mm-hmm. and it's just like, this will be the first time that The Rock has actually had a full-on match in many years. And it's this like the WWE right now is legitimately so good. Like, it is the best it's been. I've talked to fans who have been fans of WWE for a long, long time, and they also agree that it is right now, it is the best that it's ever been. And just every story is hitting on every single level. There's like, and not just, you know, focusing on only just a few folks. There's like almost half the roster has like a story going in at WrestleMania this weekend. And there is a rumor. There is, like, I don't know if this is going to be the thing, but there is a rumor that obviously we know The Rock is coming back.
Yeah.
But there is a rumor that Stone Cold Steve Austin might be coming back.
Shut
Oh my God.
This
is like my childhood and then dropped it. And now, when Stone Cold was doing it, that's when we were watching it. Because, I hung out with guys all growing up, so like they were all into it, and
John Cena even came back for a bit too, like during the writer's strike. He kind of came back and was wrestling for a bit too, so he was part of the whole storyline too. So it's been he's been so good, and I can't wait.
All right, I'm gonna have to go find some YouTube videos to teach me everything. Is Greg involved in it this year?
I think he's going. I don't think he's still doing the show This Is Awesome for WWE. So I assume he's probably gonna be there. It's in Philadelphia this weekend. So, there's like it's going to be so great. Yeah. Any questions you have? Like, I'm totally caught up. Actually, like, literally, they're doing Monday Night Raw right now. We're recording this.
So we'll have
cool. So I'll watch a whole bunch of YouTube videos, and then I'll come back with questions.
Cool.
We'll have to have a bonus episode of like follow up, because I am now influenced. I just Googled, how can I watch WWE? And it's on Peacock.
It is on Peacock, yes.
How do you watch it?
Sportsnet Plus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's both.
Because I think I did How did I do it last time? I had to subscribe to something.
Yeah, so it used to be that you had to subscribe in Canada. You had to subscribe to the WWE Network. But yeah. Now for like an extra, like, I think like 16 bucks. Basically, you pay like a specific $16 in Canada for that specific subscription to Sportsnet Plus. But you get Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, which is the two weekly shows. Oh, and also NXT, which is their kind of like up-and-coming thing. That's also on Tuesdays. But you also do get all of the pay-per-views. So any like the major events, including WrestleMania, that's all included. It will be different next year because next year they said they didn't say specifically for Canada, but they did say that Monday Night Raw is going to be coming to Netflix globally.
Yes, so I saw that. Yeah. Wild.
So and there's been there's not some people. I think of that SmackDown is also going to be on Netflix too, but yeah, it's going to be all moving over to Netflix at some point.
Isn't that where the Jake Paul
Logan Paul
fight is? Logan Paul fight is going to be is on Netflix. Wow, it's crazy. Oh, that
one, yeah, the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. Yeah, so but funny enough, his brother Logan Paul is in WWE as well. He's a champion. Yes. He's a United States champion right now, and it's going to be interesting because he's a heel. So he basically is
yes, like, of course he is.
He's a bad guy. And what was so funny was that because his energy drink Prime. He was actually able to strike a deal with WWE where as of this first, like this WrestleMania coming this weekend, he has the Prime logo, the Prime bottle logo is going to be on the ring in the center of the mat of the ring. And it's good. Like, oh it's such gosh. A perfect, like heel thing to do being like, oh my God, Prime's going to be sponsoring the mat in the ring for WrestleMania.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I need to go tell Mike afterwards too that this is coming because, like, yeah, we're just out of the loop. If you're not in it all the time, you don't realize. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I'll see it pop off, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's this weekend!" Yep. And miss out. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, and Randy Orton's back too.
This is why we have this. Oh my God.
there's some ones that have been coming back. Like we got like some old school folks coming back. So yeah, Randy Orton's now a big part of it too. Yeah.
Oh my God. And there's probably a Leafs game and a Habs game. Probably. What a weekend for sports. Because this is now the sports podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry I derailed this, but this is what I've been into. It's D&D and WWE. That's what I've been into for the past few weeks.
Yeah, all the letters. Yeah, all of them. All right, let's get through the fantasy critic stuff real quick. I don't think there's been a whole lot of change because not a whole lot of games has come out last week. I'm just scanning real quick. Man, I got to pick up some stuff. All my games are coming out. Dragon's Dogma, it came out, got a critics of 88. I got 18 points for that.
Nice.
Let's see what else here. Tekken, Persona, no, they're all older. Joelle, Princess Peach Showtime.
Yep.
Critics, 76. You got 6 points for that one. So standings within the podcast league is myself in first, Joelle in second, and Kat in third. Ooh. But like I said, I only have 3 games left that haven't come out yet. And one of my counter picks is Hollow Knight Silksong, which I got spooked about this morning. We'll get into that.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you chose that as a counter pick?
Yeah.
That it's not going to come out this year.
Oh, it's not going to come out this year. I was going to be like, that's if that doesn't my, do well.
That's what I'm thinking. If it doesn't, I think I might get screwed in the other
do you,
week.
Do you still have some money? Do you still have some money for any games that are going to be announced in like May, June-ish?
Oh, yeah. I haven't bought anything.
Okay. That's okay, good. Thing. Save the money.
Everybody else is picking out all the money, and I'm like, uh-uh.
Yep. Save the money. Save it.
I'm waiting.
Yep.
I'm waiting.
Good strategy. Love it.
Let's see if anybody did anything this week. I have a feeling no, because we've all been like... Yeah, March 16th. That was the last podcast episode. Okay, so in the community league, Darth is in first, Pat is in second, Offshore Meteor is in third, I'm in fourth, fifth is Ross, Phoenix is in sixth, Jessica Star is in seventh, Al Bang and Stainsby Kingsby are in eighth tied, and then Zhang Pao is in tenth. So there are a few games coming out. Let's see who managed to pick up what over here. So Princess Peach Showtime was Offshore Meteor. Got that one. Scrolling down through to see who got what. Anything else? Silgar's in the Pennyway. Pat's got to pick up some games too. He's only got 2 left here that have not released. Let me see. Who ended up picking up? Let's go. I'm scrolling down through to see who. MLB The Show 24. Phoenix got the points for that. It came out at 80 in critics. So we got 10 points for that. That's pretty awesome. Dragon's Dogma was in Darth. That makes sense why he kicked up back up to first. So yeah, that's what's happening there. Lots of people have been picking up stuff. Let me see about the history. Did anybody buy anything? March 23rd, Ross's Cool Games for Attractive People picked up Animal Well with a bid of $9. He also dropped a game. He dropped Sandland, maybe because the game's not coming out or not reviewing well. But yeah, that's where we stand right now in the Fantasy Leagues. I do see it popping off often when games are coming out in our Discord channel. So if you want to follow along, you can do so in the Discord channel. Let's talk about games that we've been playing. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, Joelle was given her preview of what she'd been playing in Rise of the Ronin, so we're gonna dive into that, and I'm sure, Steve, you have also played that and did a review on the accessibility side of things?
A little bit. I didn't do a full-on review. I did the preview of that, and I'll talk into the reason why, in a minute, yeah.
All right, so Joelle...
Yes.
We're out of the season of embargoes.
True that. It was a long, long, cold season of embargo. But
it's our own fault.
That's
so.
Right. But we are out of the darkness and into the light. And so I touched about it a little bit on the last episode regarding things I could talk about, which was mostly the tutorial and intro to the game. But now that I have finished the game... I will say that like this was quite like the project that Team Ninja took on. You know, they certainly like swung big, right? They took in so many different mechanics from so many other games that have been loved and players enjoyed, and they made them fit seamlessly, I think, into the narrative, and also I think did a good job at, you know, taking some mechanics. Again, when you think about that the game was in development for so long, there were a lot of time-saving mechanics that have come out in video games. You know, fast travel, automatic item pickups, saves. And there's also a really neat feature within the game where once you move out of a certain area, it opens up a option for you to go back and play the same area again if you would want to make different choices to see what the ending would be or what the turnout would be for that area. And I thought that was really interesting because sometimes in a game, you know, you have to go through the whole arc of the story before you might want to go back and replay. But with this game, you're able to go back, and if you've played the moments or certain side quests or side missions of the game and the main storyline, you can replay them as you go and even change your trajectory of how you'll finish the game in real time. So I thought that was really nice of, like, maybe you get done with a chapter and you think, maybe this isn't how I wanted it to go. I can go back and replay pieces to make the outcome different, to maybe go the direction I want the story that I think I want to have. But I will say that towards the end, it did get a little samey. And I kind of had this similar complaint with Hogwarts Legacy, where it was just a lot of the same stuff. And if I tried to do something different, it really didn't impact what was happening at all. Because once you kind of get on one set of rails, that's just the trajectory you're going on. That's the story you're going to get. And it was kind of it. So I will say I got a little fatigued at the end. But like overall, if you're really into the combat mechanics, if you're really into trying different stances with your sword, if that's something you really wanted to get deep into, like this is a great game. I think they did a great job for with the difficulty settings, like I've talked about, where you can switch it up and make it a little bit harder, make it a little bit more easy. I did play on easy mode, like, basically the entire time, because there are some beefy mid-level bosses that come through that kind of come out of nowhere that I wasn't, like, prepared for. Because usually you get a sense of, like, all right, I'm coming up on something that's going to be a little bit more difficult, a little more crucial. I know when it's coming. But with some of these, like, mid-level bosses, I was not ready. I was walking in with my pants down. I didn't know what was going on. And it would take me quite a few times to get through, and it'd be a little frustrating. But I would say overall, I think the game, they did like a great job. Again, it just the ending got a little tiring. Unfortunately, I'll say the ending was a little more predictable than I guess I would have liked. So I was like, wow, this was a lot of work, and I wish there was a little bit of a bigger payoff. But maybe it's because I took like a really straightforward route. So I'd be interested to see all the different endings that maybe I could have gleaned like a more surprising conclusion to this epic than maybe just what I thought it was going to be. But I think time's going to have to tell on that one. So
go back and watch YouTube videos later.
Yeah, pretty much.
Steve, what were your thoughts on the game? What you got to play?
So I did the preview of it. So there was a certain point for the embargo that you had to play, or you couldn't talk about anything up past a certain point. And right. I played literally up until that moment. Not on purpose. It was just sort of like, oh, it just so happened that the day I was recording the preview was the day that I was able to make it to that point. I will say that even though there is some good accessibility in there, Joel, you mentioned the difficulty options, which I understand is a new thing for Team Ninja. So having that in there is definitely a big plus. And there actually was a little bit more accessibility than I had initially expected. It is not fully accessible for certain disabled players. I'd say probably motor disabled players probably will have like the easier time, especially on like on a mouse and keyboard kind of situation. But because you know it's on PS5, that might be a bit difficult. But you could still remap the controls on that. But as far as like blind or deaf or hard of hearing players, might have a little bit more of a difficult time. And I did stop playing at a certain point, but it wasn't necessarily because of the accessibility that kind of held me back. It was to a certain degree, but what kind of held me back was as I kept playing, all I kept thinking about was all I really want to play right now is Ghost of Tsushima. It just had that vibe to it, even though I know like it there's a lot more to the story than beyond just you know the specific kind of like Ronin sort of Last Samurai kind of like deal with that sort of Ghost of Tsushima sort of plays into, and there's a lot more, you know, kind of there's a bit more of like the 1800s and so it's set during that time when like the West, like basically America is starting to discover Japan, and they're like there's a whole thing of, you know, does Japan kind of like stick with its older values and ways, or does, you know, go modern with you know like steamships and kind of like the old West of the kind of era of the U.S. So I understand there's a bit of that, and I was actually kind of, it was pretty cool being able to play like as a samurai, but with like a full on like business suit, like an 1800s like business suit, which was pretty dope. I was kind of waiting to be able to get my cowboy hat and like a trench coat, and I basically wanted to be a cowboy samurai, but I didn't get that far. But I think it was just there was a lot of stuff to do. But none of it really interests me as much. And the story is like, it's for me, it was okay, but not enough to be able to kind of prompt me to keep going. But that's, you know, that's just on me, because like there's those kind of games don't really like, I've never played a Team Ninja game before, and they never really kind of interest me as much. But this one, I was like, oh, okay, you know what? It has that Ghost vibe. Let me see what it's like. And all I kept thinking about throughout it was just that Ghost of Tsushima is all I want. Like, I wanted to play. And it's not to say that Ghost is better than Rise of the Ronin or vice versa. Rise of the Ronin just wasn't for me. So, yeah.
That happens, you know? Yeah. When games come out and they resemble too much something else, they just make you think of the other thing. And you're just like, I would rather play the other thing.
The thing too is that a lot of as much as, you know, I talk about the lack of accessibility, at least full accessibility in there. What I did appreciate the most, and this is something that I do appreciate, but just about in games in general, was that, you know, oftentimes whenever we try to play a game, we can't because of lack of accessibility, like say a Souls-like game. We often hear the phrase, it's like, well, then this game is not meant for, like, it's not for you. And I'm like, but allow me to be able to make that choice for myself. So I will say that Rise of the Ronin, while it did have some pretty decent accessibility, it allowed me to be able to make that choice, being like, okay, yeah, this game just wasn't for me. So, which I do appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is important for sure. Joelle, have you picked up another game? Did you start playing anything else?
Yes, I did. I actually played the demo of Princess Peach Showtime because I needed a little Nintendo after the gruesome, bloody samurai venture I was on. So I did pick up the demo for Princess Peach Showtime because I had to see what they were going to do with my girl Peach and how she was going to display all of her greatness in her first game. And I will say that it was absolutely charming. Like, it stole my heart, and I thought it was just lovely. Like, if I had a younger, kid in my life that I really would want to play with, like, this is the game for them for sure. The art style was so charming and just spot on. I mean, you try to set the bar so high for Nintendo with their graphics and their, like, set design and lighting and stuff, and you're like, okay, like, I have it set high because it's Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And they blew me away just with the fact that each section of the game that Peach plays is on a stage. And so everything that they do looks like stage props. And just the way that Peach interacts with the set designs and the characters is so creative and so wonderful. And the music is so good. It's like when you are at a play, you get a live orchestra feel, right? Because it's playing live as you're watching the play. That is how I felt when I was going through the stages of this game. Like, it was rich and it was textured, and it really heightened the experience because the music was so good, really theatrical in the stylings, which really suited the game very well. Also, how they place Peach in these different characters. At first, I was a little worried that it would get so monotonous of kind of doing the same thing because you only have two action buttons. You have jump and you have, like, attack. So I thought, well, I wonder how they're going to, you know, keep this fresh a little bit so it doesn't get, like, too monotonous. But they use it in really clever ways. So for the demo, like, at first she's a sword fighter, so you definitely do the action of cutting things down and taking down enemies. But then in the second stage, she's a baker, a patisserie baker. And part of the challenge of the stage is for you to cook cakes. So kind of like an overcooked thing where you have to cook things and get the timing right for them to come out. And also to decorate the cakes in a specific way that they give you. So I really enjoyed that it wasn't just, you know, fight these enemies, get to the end of the stage. It was a lot of different types of puzzles that you had to work through. And so I don't know if it would be a game that, like, I'd want to play by myself the whole way through, just because, I mean, it was a little too simple, not enough challenge. But I think it was fantastic. Like, if this ever went on sale or came as a bundle, like, I definitely would want to pick it up and just kind of pick it up here and there and play through different stages, because it was delightful. So I was really happy, and I can see how maybe Nintendo is posing this for Peach to almost like a new generation, and I can see how they will evolve Peach, like, from this stage, and how this character will probably grow into her own, really slice out and carve out her own space within the Mario universe. So that's kind of how it felt to me, is that they're really setting the stage, if you will, for her to take off and to kind of come into her own identity and entity. So I thought it, I was surprised, honestly.
So, yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask if you're going to pick it up, but that totally makes sense why you might want to wait. But it sounds like between the movie and this, that this game, they're like, they are really trying to like make her own kind of like lane of stuff that is the Princess Peach kind of thing. Because like, no longer is she just like the damsel in distress.
Oh no,
she is now the badass.
Yeah, they, I think they really helped set that up in Mario Odyssey, right, with the end, and she's like,
yeah,
I don't need no mans, and I can do this for myself. And then we had her in the movie. Yeah, and this game, like, while again not going to be a huge, it's definitely geared towards a younger audience who would want to play as the character. And she can do so many different things. You know, she's a mermaid. She's an astronaut. She's a ninja. You know, it almost wasn't really, it reminded me of Barbie, right? If you've seen the Barbie movie, in the beginning, it talks about all the different careers that Barbie can have. And that's what this felt with Princess Peach. Like, she's just not a princess. Like, she chooses to be a princess because that's what she wants to be. But she can do all these other things because she's really good at them. So I think, like, really cool. She's so capable. And I just thought it was super cute. And a little freshness there without, you know, she's outside of the Mushroom Kingdom. She's not the toads around her. They introduced some different kind of characters. I don't think the boss I've seen before, I'd have to maybe like look into it, but I think it's like a different, type of main boss that you have to beat at the end. So I was very surprised and it was wonderful. So if you're curious, I wouldn't hesitate to pick it up.
Nice. Steve, are you playing anything else while you prep D&D?
So I actually just came back from PAX East last weekend. So I got to play Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the new game from Illphonic.
Wow.
Yeah, so very much an asymmetrical multiplayer game based on a cult classic movie from the 80s. Actually, I did get to talk to the filmmakers while I also at PAX, too, because they were there promoting the game. So I got to try out that. I got to play a little bit of Questmaster from Apogee Games or Apogee Entertainment. Questmaster is Super Mario Maker, but for Zelda dungeons. You get to create your own dungeons in the style of a Link to the Past, kind of like art style. And it's it's really, really fun. And it's also co-op. You can be able to play these dungeons co-op with up to three friends, I think. It's when I'm like, I can't say because the embargo date, they haven't announced the release date yet, but it's definitely going to be on my must playlist once it comes out. But the one I've been just currently playing, I fell into the trap, y'all. I fell into the trap of Balatro. I started playing it on the plane ride to PAX, and I still get to win around a full thing. I'm getting close. I got up to like I think level 5 or level 6. It's addicting, and I understand why. And playing on the Switch has just been so damn fun. Yeah, that's basically what's been sucking up my life.
I understand that completely.
Yeah.
I finally decided that instead of gardening, as I was playing the Garden Life Cozy Simulator, I decided to take my adventures underwater and picked up Dave the Diver. And I am hooked.
Oh.
Hooked, line, and sinker. So, yeah, I don't know why I waited so long. Just, I guess there's so many games, guys. There's just so many games. It has everything that I love in a game. I'm like a repetitive, go catch all the fish, collect all the things, go as deep as you can in the ocean. Oh, wait, let's run a sushi restaurant on the side. Oh, wait, now I'm breeding fish. Oh, wait, now I'm farming. I'm like, what? What? This game! It's great, and it's so funny! Oh my goodness, the art style, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave the Diver is everything everybody has been talking about, and I'm so happy that I'm playing it. It was the perfect thing to, like, transition me out of the work funk into that, and I was traveling the weekend seeing in-laws for the Easter holidays, brought the Switch with me, and it was perfect for me to, like, play while, you know, other things were going on, watching the hockey game, stuff like that, and, yeah, that's why we love the Switch. So, yeah, definitely bringing that away with me when I go in a week and a half to Mexico. I'll probably have to put something else on there, too, because I may just chew through this over the next week and a half. Because it's that good, and it's all I want to do is play it. But, yeah, Dave the Diver is everything everybody was saying it was. So, yeah, still good.
Except an indie game. That's one thing, yeah, it's not. It's still not an indie game. Sorry, I had to bring that up again.
All right, let's take a walk down memory card lane. Each week, the team will have to guess a historical game that would have released during the time of this episode's airing. We will start with its release date. I will give hints about the game for the team to guess, attempt to guess what it is. As always, talk it out, friends. So this game released on April 5th of 2016. Let the questioning and answers begin.
Well, I just was going to say, like, you're not April Fooling us, are you?
No, yeah. April 5th,
all right.
2016.
Hey.
I did look, though, to see. Yeah. And, you know, there's been some pretty good properties, but that technically doesn't work out because it's supposed to be in the week of the episode's airing. So all right. April 5th, 2016.
We've been saved. Okay. 2016.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Just because it's the first thing that kind of popped in my head that I'm like, I think it came out maybe around this time, but I have, like, just based on the date only, No Man's Sky?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what else would have come out in 2016. Ooh. Joel, what do you think?
No, I don't guess after the first five because I'm just...
Oh, you know? Oh, okay.
No, I do, but like, I'm
like just throwing things out there just to see. I'm like, I don't know.
You never know. You never know. Catherine just throws out things and gets them at like the first question, ridiculous. Like fairly frequently.
Actually, now I'm just actually kind of curious. What was the release date for No Man's Sky? Oh, I wasn't too far off. It was August 9th, 2016. Wow. So I got to have the right year.
Yeah, you were in the range.
I was in the right year. Yeah. Okay.
All right. This game is an action adventure third person shooter.
Ooh, third person. Okay. I can guarantee definitely not for the Switch.
No.
Just before the Switch came out. So I'm like, that's the kind of the era I'm thinking of.
Is it 2016 though? It's not a Borderlands, is it?
All right. No, it's not a Borderlands.
I don't think it's Gears 5 because that would have been a little bit later, I think.
It is not Gears 5. You're in the right wheelhouse, though. This game came out on Windows and Xbox One.
Ah. Is that our third hint? Or is that just, you know, you're just...
That is your third hint.
Okay. Windows and Xbox One.
I'm just sliding that one in there.
Okay. Let me think.
Half-Life?
No.
Windows and Xbox One, so it probably would have been more of an Xbox exclusive, I would assume.
In 2016 when those were still a thing.
Yeah, so in that case, I don't think it might have been Tomb Raider because I think that was exclusive PlayStation for that while an Xbox
when
was...
did that? Yeah, I'm trying to remember for Tomb Raider. It's not Tomb Raider, but Tomb Raider, the second one, when did that come out?
It was, well, that was what, Rise of the Tomb
Raider? The new generation, let's call it the new generation.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look it up. Release date. It was 2015 for the second one. So.
Oh, we're so close. Okay. So, yeah.
I thought of a game, but then it wasn't third person.
Right.
Or third person. What is Far Cry first or third?
Oh.
First.
Oh, it's first. Okay. That's what I couldn't quite place it. That's probably why I haven't played one, because it's first person.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
All right.
I mean,
do you want another hit?
I'm thinking, that's okay. I was originally going to think Uncharted, but I'm like, nope, that's PlayStation. So that's out.
I thought that too, but then, yeah, it was.
I want to say probably Halo, but I don't think it was a. I mean, I'm trying to remember when Halo 5 had come out.
I already did Halo last time you were
that's
on.
That's true.
Here,
so I was going to say,
Halo.
Yeah,
I keep track. I keep track.
You slipping in again? But that's right. That's the first person shooter, so that wouldn't have worked.
Good hope.
Yeah.
I 2016. Oh nope, that was a PlayStation one again. All right, I don't know. I'm ready. I'm ready for another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
The game features a choice based narrative.
Choice based narrative. Oh. We're talking like a Mass Effect.
Nope.
Oh. But you're, I think like you're, we didn't see where it was set in though, did you? You didn't, it was adventure.
No, the clues I've given you have, it's release date of April 5th, 2016. It's an action adventure third person shooter. It was released on Windows and Xbox One, and the game features a choice based narrative.
Okay. Fallout's out because that's first person.
Yep.
The only one I can think of is.
Is it The Last of Us? Oh no, that's PlayStation.
No, that would have been that's PlayStation. Yeah, yeah.
I know. Dead by Daylight.
Nope.
Mm.
I'm thinking. It's not. I don't think it's Dragon Age. Would it be Dragon?
No,
no,
it's just
not a shooter.
Yeah. Unless you're a mage.
Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Sure.
It features time manipulation mechanics, allowing players to freeze time, dash quickly, and create time bubbles.
Oh, no.
Time?
I feel like I should know this now.
I know. I'm like, I don't think time. I can think of it. It'd be like a Deus Ex Machina, but I can't remember if that's first person or if that's third person. But I don't know if that might have been older. That might
time
travel mechanic?
Time manipulation mechanic. Allowing players to freeze time, dash quickly, or create time bubbles.
Oh, no, I don't. Is it Bayonetta?
No. Oh. Xbox.
Sorry.
Other than that, it was a good guess.
Okay, Leah, you told me to guess, so I'm guessing.
I did. Do you want another hint?
Hold on, let me...
These hints are going to make it easier, trust me.
I feel like the time mechanic I should have...
I feel like I should, because I'm trying to think. Okay, 2016, it's an action adventure, third person, it's on Xbox.
Choice-based.
I think like, what, maybe like Time Splitters or something like that?
No.
Probably like some Japanese game that I probably never played. That's
on
it.
Xbox.
On Xbox
2016.
Okay.
I'll give you the next one. This one may give it away.
Okay.
The main character was played by Sean Ashmore, and the character's name was Jack Joyce.
Oh, is this Quantum Break?
Yes,
sir.
So yeah, the other two clues I had were it combined gameplay with live action television episodes. As soon as I said that, you would have known. Mm. And it was developed by Remedy Entertainment.
Yeah, that would have been it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, like it was pretty cool seeing Sean pop up in Alan Wake 2. It was kind of a nice little like Quantum Break kind of tie in. That was pretty neat. Nice. Yeah.
True.
Cool. Okay, that was a good one.
That's Walk Down Memory Card Lane for another week. I think it's time to get into some of those news, including those April Fool's jokes that every year, at least one of them get us,
right,
where they give us a near heart attack at 8 o'clock in the morning. You're just like, is that real? And then you realize it's not, and you've just been punked. All right, let's get into that right after this break. All right, let's jump into those April Fool's jokes that... good Lord, should they be real? Should they not? I had a moment this morning that spooked me because I thought I had a date on Hollow Knight Silk Song, but it was just someone punking me. And I was like, God damn it, I've gone and ruined my fantasy critic for another year. But no, it's okay. But there were some April Fool's things, jokes, pranks that could have been cool, maybe. Let's talk about that. Joelle, you want to bring us through the roundup that you found on IGN?
I did. I was really hoping this would be a thing, and it was. So I was waiting towards kind of the end of the day to see the roundup. I will say the one on here that got me kind of right away in the beginning of the day, like yours, was a Devolver Digital post that talked about how Devolver Digital, they were announcing that they're kind of over the video game production side of stuff. You know, they feel like it was kind of a been there, done that. And they were trying to think of what other media could they tap into. And, you know, weren't interested in movies because that's too difficult. And maybe TV, but they really wanted to try their hand at reality TV shows. And a part of me now wants that to be true because I think Devolver Digital would be amazing at setting up reality TV shows.
Yeah. Imagine someone from Devolver knowing how chaotic their press conferences are to do something like Survivor or Big Brother or
Unhinged.
Geez, even Drag Race. Or it would just be absolute chaos.
Yes. Leave it to Devolver to basically to go into that route.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as if we don't already have enough chaos with reality TV.
Right, exactly.
But the one, some really fun ones, that a Pokemon is holding an epic Pokemon Sleep tournament to end all tournaments. The Pokemon Sleep Champion Tournament of 2024. Players from around the globe will compete in an 8-hour and 30-minute tournament to prove they can sleep better than anyone else.
Can I play in that tournament, please?
Can I join?
Can we sign up, please?
Cyberpunk posted that it's getting a limited time, quote, floppy edition that comes with over 97,000 3.5-inch diskettes.
That's the one that got me.
No way.
Here's the thing. I wanted that to be real because love to have seen like CD Projekt Red to be like, you know, it's a one-off. You can only be able to get like it just when they said it's like a truck will show up with 97,619 discs. I'm like, I want this to be real so damn bad just because like it's a even though I know it's an April Fool's joke. I knew going in it was an April Fool's joke, but it was the one I'm like, man, it's one of those April Fool's jokes that you just want to be real. And that was that was the one that got me.
The floppy comment, floppy. Wasn't there, like, didn't they have to take a lot of penises and phallic items out of Cyberpunk? Wasn't that, like, a thing?
They took them out.
I think so.
No, are they still in
there? They're still there.
I thought there was a lot of phallic references and stuff and statues and things like that. Yeah. So when they said floppy, I was like, oh, no.
Still
there.
Oh, they're all, yep, they're definitely still there.
Still there.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's a thing. Let's see here. The other one that I thought there was a kind of somewhat, for me, this is like a somewhat of a disturbing one, but the Razer Cthulhu is a gaming chair with 8 AI arms ready to do your bidding.
What?
So Razer introduced a new gaming chair called the Razer Cthulhu, and it's the ultimate gaming chair. If you go onto Twitter, you can watch an advertisement of it, and it is, for me, the stuff of nightmares. I don't like it. So a gamer goes on and sits in a Razer chair, and, you know, it's annoying that you have to get up for snacks, or you have to get up to move your cords, or you have to get up to get your headset, but this game is like a Doc Ock of arms that comes in from the back, and it brushes your teeth, it feeds you, it holds your drink, it combs your hair. This is a male presenter in the commercial, so it shaves his beard. It moves the mouse around while this person is playing a Switch. And so it is a... I honestly think this isn't too far away, if I'm being totally honest.
Except at the end when it goes AWOL.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Another one that I thought was amazing. A beloved Yacht Club Games put one out is that they're now getting into skincare. Because, you know, the makeup industry has bonkers, margin on their products. And Yacht Club Games is getting into skincare just by selling dirt. And so
in a mineral moisturizer.
In a mineral moisturizer.
Yep. But it's now skincare.
I think it probably would have been a little bit more believable if they said that there was like seeds of grass in there so that you could touch grass while putting on this lotion. But
missed opportunity.
Yeah, missed opportunity for sure.
This one I thought was super clever. Pal World has come out with a dating sim. Pal World is for more than just pals. Will you remain friends or fall in love or dismantle and eat them?
I mean, when it's just those two choices, I think like the choice is obvious.
I just thought that it was a really clever spin on Pal World because the pals are so cute. But from the little bit I've played, like, they have some creepy, like, death mechanics. And, like, there is actually my boyfriend is still playing this. He's been playing this hard. And there is a mechanic where you do have to disassemble your pals, like, on purpose to get a trophy. And so I thought this was kind of a funny play on that. But and I love how the graphic is a anime, like, inspired dating sim. So that was pretty funny.
Nice.
Hilarious.
If you're sick of getting things clean on Power Wash Simulator, they now are going to have a mode where you can ruin everything and make things dirty.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear about this one, but I'm like, okay, all right, I get it.
It's all about cleaning up the horrible messes, but on this April Fool's Day, players will be given the chance to become an evil monster and ruin everything with dirt. And so the promo is you, instead of like cleaning off a park bench, you dirty it up and spray all of the brown stuff on it. So
that's
pretty funny. They have so many other things on this IGN wrap up. There are some that are so clever. So maybe like if you'd missed a few, the best one though that hopefully folks saw that Nintendo. I feel like it's the crowning jewel for the April's Day joke is that they announced a Virtual Boy Pro.
Yes, I saw that. That was hilarious.
So for those of you that might have missed it, it's where they have a Nintendo Switch on some goggles, like your Apple Pro, and you put it on and it creates a artificial reality world, but with Mario in it. So you play Mario on the go. I think one of their best pieces was when the woman was vacuuming. Like, she's playing Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
And there was Luigi.
Oh, my
there.
Gosh.
There was a Korok catcher where you get to roam around and find Koroks and you get to pop the Korok balloons. And then, of course, a Mario Kart open road competition where you're in your car and the person next to you is a Mario Kart character and you have to race them IRL.
I love it because they incorporated the Luigi side eye meme as you play, like it was from Mario Kart.
Oh my
love that it was like that's such a chef's kiss of a great edit right there.
Yeah.
Was it Nintendo that did this or was it IGN?
I think it was IGN
that
made this. Yeah.
Oh, IGN did it. Oh, I totally missed that.
So. They're known for doing
that. Nintendo did. Because I thought that would have been great.
Well, see, they're known for doing them too. With 3D printers too, it's so easy to replicate this kind of stuff now, to fake it, right? So it's super cool.
Well, I was fooled, so I guess they did a good job.
Well, you knew it wasn't real.
Well, no, but I thought Nintendo did it though, and I was like, way to go, Nintendo. Like, way to go all out on this.
The rumors of the Switch 2 are very rampant. They're like, and our new hardware, the Virtual Boy Pro. So
well, wasn't there some kind of like cardboard thing that you could put the
Labo
Switch in for a bit?
Yeah, Labo.
Yeah, the Labo.
Yeah. But so. That's why I was like, oh, they're going back to that again. But now they're like making it like plasticky and stuff. But because I was watching it, and I'm like, I knew it was fake, of course. But like they were like, whoever put it together did some pretty cool stuff, because it was like AR. It was kind of like the Vision, Apple Vision Pro, because they had like Mario jumping around real world objects, and I was like, oh, that's actually kind of neat. But yeah, of course, it's like it's just, I think that's probably what they were parroting the most, was just the Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah. And they start off with the Nintendo logo, and I think also what really got me is that they're playing the Switch, and it looked so much like the commercials for the Switch.
Yeah,
so I think my mind, I did not.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Always brings me back to that. Like it would be the April Fool's Day prank to end all April Fool's Day prank is when they did the live action trailer for Zelda.
Yes. Oh,
remember
I think that?
It was years ago.
Like they have not been better at that. Like at April Fool's Day than that. Like that was
that was good.
Yeah.
That was great. This one is not yet an April Fool's Day joke. It may be. You never know. But let's talk about the rumor mill that continues to circle around an Xbox handheld. So to give you guys some like context to set this up, essentially last year when some information was leaking, some court documents, there were plans revealed that they were going to potentially create an Xbox handheld. But it was never been confirmed, and Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, pretty much said that the plans were outdated. But in a conversation with, I'm trying to remember who they had, Polygon, that's who it was with. He didn't straight out deny it when he was asked about it, but he was talking about the things that he would like to see in an Xbox handheld ecosystem. Some of those things being stuff like it feeling like opening an Xbox platform, like you get the UI as soon as you jump in, it's easy to connect with your friends, you know, having all your save files, you know, the essentially just like a compact version of the Xbox experience that you see now on an S or an X or even on you know, some of the other platforms as well, too, that we see it on streaming and stuff like that. So, yeah, I kind of wanted to open the floor here, because now you guys, like, avid Switch users, all of us, Joelle has an ally, Rogue Ally. Steve, did you pick up one of them?
I have.
Devices?
It's a weird habit, or, you know, I don't know. I have a lot of them. I actually have the Switch. I have the ROG Ally. I have the Steam Deck. I have the Logitech G Cloud and the PlayStation Portal. The only one I don't have is the Legion Go.
Is that even out yet?
Yep, that's one is out. It's the MSI Claw is the one that's not out.
Okay.
Yeah. But the Legion Go is the one that basically is the similar to like the ROG Ally, where it's like Windows based. It's got a bigger screen, but the controls separate, much like the Switch. And then you can also like dock it in kind of like a joystick kind of deal, like on desktop for like So that's Legion Go for that one.
Okay, cool. So yeah, we've also been around the block a few times too. So we've played, even outside of that, a lot of handhelds over the years. I mean, my very first, the one that I owned myself first, was a Game Boy Color. So if Xbox was to make its own handheld console, what do you guys think it needs to like differentiate itself from all these other ones? And let's just put it out there. We all thought handhelds were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. We thought we were done with handhelds. And then this Switch whole, like, you know, two personality thing, where it's a handheld or if it's a home console, kind of came into the mix of all of this. So 2024, what do we want in an Xbox handheld?
Well, I know from having the Ally and seeing the Ally be utilized as almost a substitute for a tower, like a PC, because you can plug that sucker into a monitor and you can run the internet and run your games in the same thing. So I think that if games are going to become more shareable, right, so they're not dependent upon a large console to run or even building a tower. And I understand that the technology might not be there, but I think it would be dope if you had something like a handheld, but then had the option to also run VR on it too. So you could do VR on the go. So like the Meta plus the Ally together. Like, I think that would be really interesting, is that you have those two options available to you. Because you can still dock the handheld wherever you'd like, on a TV or at a desk. But if it could also run VR games, I think that would be kind of cool. Like, that integration between the two of the different experience of games. So that would be my vote.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing is like, Xbox hasn't really... Like, they did the HoloLens, but I feel like they've stepped back a lot from the VR stuff. So I don't know if they'd be the ones to jump into something like that. PlayStation might be more closer to do it.
Yeah. Potentially. I mean, I think now that VR has a little bit more, like, more or less matured, and then, you know, folks are really diving into the Apple Vision Pro for AR, which is what the HoloLens was kind of more. Like, they kind of were pioneered the AR trend, but it never really kind of... I don't know if it made it, like, it actually made to full on market, or if it was just more of an internal experiment kind of deal. But yeah, for me, it was more like the thing that interests me as definitely someone who's played a lot of the, or used a lot of the handhelds. There is nothing better than having a native operating system on the actual machine itself. But also having the ability to be able to expand, like the Steam Deck. Is honestly, I think that probably its best part is the Steam OS. It is very intuitive. It's very easy to navigate and change any settings as you need to, but also have access to your Steam library. And it's kind of like that sort of siloed sort of OS. But if you wanted to, you can you know, go out of that OS, go into the Linux operating system, and you can download a bunch of mods or emulators to kind of expand the Steam Deck even beyond its current capabilities. The Ally is basically, and the Legion Go essentially is sort of that, where they do have their own like software that essentially kind of mimics a Steam OS like experience, but you also have the capability of installing all of the all the platforms that you have your library on, because it's Windows, so you can basically install like Steam, Xbox, Game Pass, Epic Game Store, Ubisoft like Plus, all those launchers can essentially be, you know, downloadable and playable and launched through that. But the problem is that the Windows 11, there is no mobile interface with that. It is straight just Windows 11, and is not the easiest OS to navigate at that small of a screen size.
Yeah.
Even with like the touchscreen that is on the Ally. I can't remember if the Legion Go had a touchscreen or not. I think it does. But I would love to be able to see in an Xbox handheld, like a native Xbox OS that you jump in and like you have access to your, not only your Xbox library, but also being able to stream cloud games on the go. I think being able to have that, and then, you know, and then saving, having your game save be like shareable. I think that was kind of the thing that Phil had said in that Polygon interview, was like he was like he wanted that mobile experience where he could just, you know, pick up exactly where he left off on a game in on Xbox, because, you know, the save gets downloaded through the cloud, and you can just, as long as either he has the game installed on the device, or, you know, playing it through the cloud, you can basically have access to or exactly pick up exactly where you left off. Kind of like almost like what the Vita was supposed to kind of be like, where you can be able to pick up the, you know, your game, your PlayStation game from your console to mobile. But it never really, you know, worked with fruition because it, you know, mobile internet or just Wi-Fi wasn't really super great at when the Vita kind of came out. So I think that was a little bit more ahead of its time. But I think having a native Xbox handheld, like I would buy that day one. And I'm not just saying that because I have a majority of the handhelds out there, but it's one of those, like, that is was the missing experience that I wanted. I want, like, because I got the Steam Deck thinking, oh, I can, you know, I can install a little bit of like Xbox Cloud, like cloud gaming, and I could be able to play stuff on Game Pass. Didn't really work. Didn't have the best experience on that. Ally, yes, I can play Xbox games, but it is native to only PC Xbox games. But I could still, you know, essentially stream stuff through the cloud or connect to my Xbox through Wi-Fi. But I, like, I just want that sort of native experience for Xbox. And if it has the capability to be able to, you know, install other launchers too, like Phil had talked about as well. He had mentioned, you know, the idea of potentially having like stuff like the Epic Game Store or itch.io available to be to be searchable or playable on an Xbox. But I don't know if we're into that territory just yet, but having that native Xbox console, like I can pick up and play anywhere and I don't have to worry about, okay, did my download or my save download it over the thing or whatever. Just that would be the kind of the perfect way. Or at least, you know, they also thought about making, Phil's talked about potentially with software, like making, maybe making a software version that's, you know, available to be installable on multiple handhelds. That's also an idea too. But I think probably it's either a mobile version of Windows 11 would be great, or B, a native platform like basically a mobile Xbox.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's the ecosystem of Xbox when you boot up the console, when you go into the Xbox app on the PC, that is so seamless and easy that I would want. Because that's my apprehension behind all of those devices right now and why I haven't picked one up. Well, I've stuck with the Switch as long as I have, mm-hmm. and will buy the next iteration when it comes out. And then having the games, I want the games local, mm-hmm. because yep. oftentimes you're in places like where you just don't have Wi-Fi access or it's poopy. Mm-hmm. And also that thing, like, I love the fact that I was playing Coral Island between my PC and my Xbox and back and forth, and the same thing with Pal World, and it was just seamless, go back and forth and back and forth. To have that on a handheld, too, where I can just pick it up and go, like, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I want that ease of use. There's a reason why I've stuck with Apple platforms for so long, is because it just works. Mm-hmm. The Xbox just works. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the PlayStation UI. I find it super clunky. I never, like, it's, I'm always fumbling around trying to figure out how to turn the thing off, put it in sleep mode. Like, yeah. It's not intuitive from a UI standpoint. And I just find that that's a barrier just because I have to think harder about how to use it. And even sometimes on the PC, like, the things have gotten a lot better since, you know, over the years of how integrated Windows and stuff is now, even in the new ecosystem and stuff. So if there's a way to do that, but in a smaller, you know, fit a mobile scale, that would be the way to go about it. But you really need to be able to follow your gameplay and make it just, it just works.
Yep.
Like Nintendo, just yeah, it just works.
That's the thing yep. that I love about the Switch is that, you know, it, when trying all these different handhelds or like when getting a new console or even when building a new PC, like there's always that risk of you don't know what happened. Maybe you broke something or it doesn't always work. You got to fiddle with it. And like, you know, Steve, you were saying about the Steam Deck and about getting some of those like Xbox on there. When I got mine and I was looking at how to do it, I'm like, I'm not a computer science degree major. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is a lot of steps to try to put this on mm-hmm. The Steam Deck. And that's why I went with the Ally, because it's just pretty much, like, it's pretty much baked in. Like, you do within the first couple hours. And I love that. But, yeah, the Switch, man, I got that thing in 2017. And it's like a Timex. Like, it keeps it gets a licking but keeps on ticking. And it just works. Like, things just download. You turn it on, it's seamless, docked or undocked. Like, it's just a workhorse that has had no issues. And I guess my question, though, would be, like, I am not an Xbox console player. Like, I've only owned a 360 for a very short period of time. And I have the PC Game Pass that I go back and forth between my desk and my Ally. So I'm, like, I'm just mm-hmm. curious of, like, what is it about the ecosystem of the Xbox that like I would want to buy an Xbox handheld outside of my like Ally or my Switch.
Like, well, it's funny, you know, you talk to people who had a funny little podcast all about Game Pass.
I know. I know. Because it seems like we're
the proper people to talk about that. I think, honestly, it really does come down to that. It's the Game Pass that is the console seller. It's that's why the Xbox Series S is, you know, if you're going to get an Xbox, that's the one that's kind of people sort of gravitate towards because, you know, it's the cheaper of the consoles that are out there right now. And you can basically get access to hundreds of games just out of the box because of Game Pass, and you can play it, you know, on the cloud, or you can download it to your system and you can be able to play it to your heart's content. As long as, you know, the game is still on Game Pass, then you can be able to play it. And I think that is the ultimate selling point for the Xbox ecosystem. Sure, yeah, you know, I think everyone has, like, you know, it's the operating system, and, you know, it's the specific exclusive games, and there is a bit of that, and yet having access to that digital library on the go is great. It's basically my third party box is basically what my Xbox is where I install, like, you know, Ubisoft games or Epic games, whatever it's like, or whatever, you know, like third party publishers have games. That's where my default console is the Xbox. But yeah, I think it's the Game Pass is the seller.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there. And the thing is, too, is like, if you get a handheld, you know it's not going to be the powerhouse of powerhouse or playing like the biggest, craziest, you know, highest level fidelity games or whatever. But the thing is like, the easy ones are there. The Stardew Valleys are there. Persona 5 Tactica, like things like that. Even Coral Island, though, sometimes it can chug if you have way too much going on in there. But like, there are things that can be done, right? So that you can play those types of games there. The only thing that is missing, and I feel like Xbox is getting better with that, that would lean me more towards Steam, is like the types of games that I like often come in early access to Steam before they ever come to other platforms. Now, Xbox has been doing a lot of good with that. I mean, look at Pal World, look at Slime Rancher 2, look at Grounded. There's been tons of games that have come out and they've done the early access thing. But like some of the indies and stuff like that, like I would want a machine. In a perfect world for me, I would have a machine where I could run Xbox as kind of its main thing and then be able to open up Steam to download some of these indie games that I haven't had a chance to play yet or it's first to that console. Now, mind you, you're always going to run into problems because maybe they don't have a controller layout yet.
Sure.
But that would be my perfect world, is where I have the base that is the Xbox ecosystem, where I know I'm getting certain things. And then anything that I wanted to go off the beaten trail, I'd be able to go into something like itch.io or Steam.
Yep.
And then tinker there. That would be my perfect world. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, battery life. And it has to be good in the hands.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie, holding the Switch in my hands is just like my shoulders hurt after playing that a fair chunk of the weekend. And I've learned now that I need like a little, if I'm going to play it handheld, I got to put a pillow on my lap so my hands are up and my neck's not like cranked down. Because that 40 now, guys. It hurts.
I hear you. I hear
you.
Hurts.
I mean, like,
I have to have it like so super close to my eyes. So it's like you can just like my arms kind of get like sore after a while.
Yeah.
And it's like when it's not sort of sitting well in the hands where it could decide to kind of like just sort of comfortably rest in like in my palms. Like that's when it kind of and you have to kind of like grip it in order to be able to even use it. But then you're like limited in the amount of like dexterity you have on being able to push the buttons. And that's the problem I have with the Switch currently. But like something on an Ally or on a Steam Deck, it kind of has that curvature of being able to like grip the handheld properly. It does help. I will say, right now, I think probably the biggest problem across all handhelds, except maybe for the Switch, is battery life. It's an issue across the board. It's like max on an Ally is like 2 hours. For me personally, my argument is like, do you really want to play longer than 2 hours on a handheld? But I mean, you know, people will play like multiple hours on a Switch. So I understand, you know, that's kind of like that's already ingrained in people's heads when they want to like look at a handheld. But yeah, I think battery life, but also not making it super heavy is the kind of the trade-off.
The trade-off.
And that's where I think the Switch kind of excels in that aspect. So we'll see what the Switch 2 might be like. And we're like, you know, is it going to be a little bit more ergonomic or whatever like that? But I don't know. I I think, yeah, that's mostly kind of the main things I would focus on. Yeah, battery life has to be good, has to be comfortable in the hand, and yeah, has just access to my Xbox games and Game Pass. That'd be the perfect handheld for me.
Mm-hmm. So, if tomorrow morning Phil Spencer dropped a non-April Fool's Day
yes.
post and said, Xbox handheld, it's alive! Steve would be an instant order?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah? Joelle, would it be an instant
order? I don't think it'd be an instant order for me based on some of these things. I want to be second. I don't want to be first. First gen, I'm in the bell curve. Like, I don't want to be the first, but I won't be the last. But I do think you make a really good point of having more access to more games through Xbox Game Pass, because that is totally dominating, like, in PlayStation. Like, a part of me is like, I mean, I it's expensive, and with the launch of the PlayStation 5, and now they're, like, already moving on to another thing, and I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I've been a PlayStation lady for a long time, but I'm just like, that actually sounds pretty nice. So I'd be on board. I'd be on board.
Yep, and I'm with Steve. It would be take my money as soon as you can take it.
Yep, exactly.
And with that, I think that closes out our show for this week. We were exceptionally verbose this week, considering we didn't have an episode last week. So treat extra long episodes. Sorry, Simon. That's what you get to edit. I apologize.
Sorry.
Not sorry.
As always, you can check out the show notes on girlsongames.ca for links to all the stories mentioned in this episode. Thank you, Joelle, for doing that for us this week, since Catherine is away.
Send good vibes. Thanks.
She tries to get into WordPress.
Let's get AI to write it for you.
If you have the power to rate and review this podcast on the podcasting platform where you are consuming it, it would be much appreciated if you could do so. Why? It helps with discovery, pushes us up in the listings, and if you leave a comment, it helps us build our show. We take all of that criticism, like constructive criticism, very happily, because yes, we all need to learn, even though we've done this 441 times. This is also the moment in the podcast where I give the crew the chance to shout out their social media handles, so you can follow them anywhere and everywhere online. Steve obviously has an epic slew of things going on. So, Steve, ramble off all the places where the people can find all the things.
Yeah, probably best to be able to keep up with everything is just by following me on socials at Steve Saylor, S-A-Y-L-O-R. That's pretty much everywhere except for TikTok, because for whatever reason, TikTok, someone stole, like, I guess, my name. So it's Blind Gamer Steve over there, but dude, I'm Steve Saylor everywhere else. So you can be able to check me out there. But also, yeah, if you want to be able to check out my podcast, I've got two of them. Search for Gaming Insight on any podcast platform for like sort of the weekly news show, or my new D&D show, Dungeons and Disableds, and that's Disableds with a D at the end, so it's Disableds. Make sure to check that out, and hopefully we'll see you there.
Awesome. Steve, I had that as well happen to me, where I thought someone had stolen my name, and then I realized it was me doing it to myself, because you know when you're in Twitter and you're in TikTok and you sign up with Apple and it puts in this random number, and I didn't realize that I had done it, because you like hide your email address. So I had to get back into there, close out that one, and then change my name.
I don't think that was the same for TikTok, but I will definitely look into that. Maybe I do have like some sort of account that somewhere.
Yeah, I just sat on it by accident. I was like, why is my face there twice? Joelle, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at JoelleLauren87 and on X at Gamer_Comfy. But always saying good morning, good afternoon, and good evening at the Girls on Games Discord. Please come and say hello.
And I am Leah Jew on most social media platforms, including TikTok, but I don't really post there that much. But I do have my name back now because I did that to myself. If you want to find Girls on Games, you can track us down at all the places, including the Girls on Games on X and Facebook, just Girls on Games on Instagram and Threads, discord.me/girlsongames to continue this conversation and more. But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can track it down at our home base. That's our website, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Joelle. It's been another lovely week in video games, and we can put our fears away for another 365 days.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Where we don't have to worry about April Fool's jokes for 365 days.
Sweet.
Bye, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.